You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily on this Wednesday of the Browns and the Cardinals at First Energy Stadium. And this Sunday, it is the Cleveland Browns food drive, so go ahead and bring your non-perishable food items and cash donations to the gates of First Energy Stadium from 11 a.m. to kickoff to benefit the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. Bring your food donations this Sunday. That's November the 1st. 216-578-0850. That's the number to get on with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go now and look at some of the comments made by Ray Farmer. Again, Ray Farmer was addressing the media, not really addressing the media, but he was at a luncheon fundraiser to benefit the Domestic Violence and Child Advocacy Center, the Renaissance Hotel at Public Square. And this is what he said, and I quote, "Urgency is what prompts everyone to get better and look at themselves. I think Pet said it at his presser. Nobody is panicking. The opportunity for us now is to go out and do the things that we know we're capable of doing. Should we have won some games? Could we have won some games? Absolutely. Did we win them? No. So the NFL says who you are who your record says you are. In that instance, we're going to turn around and say, okay, we know who we are. We know the games we could have won. We know the games we should have won. We know the mistakes we've made. How do we correct those?" He went on to say at the end of it, "Just didn't work out Sunday where we were able to play complimentary football the same way. We didn't score 26 points or what we were averaging. Didn't work out that way. For the most part, we've done a good job playing offensively to balance ourselves off. Said the onus is on the team to straighten out the situation. It's reflect and correct as a group. If we don't do those things, then shame on us." Your thoughts, Matt, your initial thoughts there on what Ray Farmer had to say.
I mean, I love a lot of what he's saying. I really do. And I think that has that been communicated to the locker room? I'm sure it's probably been communicated to Mike Pettine, but then as you dissect it, has that message reverberated through this locker room?
How does it work? Let's go inside the locker room for a second. How does it work when you have a general manager, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure you're not on a team where a general manager was suspended for four games, but let's just say that
I was not.
Your general manager was. He comes back in. Is he interacting with the players a lot? Is he going in the locker room to talk to players?
No.
So there's no interaction. You know, these are his players. This is his talent roster that's been assembled, and that ultimately how they perform is going to reflect on him. You don't think he's interacting with these guys at all?
No. To a certain extent, yes, because I would believe, and as I said, do you walk out to practice and end up walking next to Mike Pettine and have that little chit-chat conversation before you hit the field and you go out to your area, your group to get warmed up? Some of those same situations will happen before and after practice as Ray, I'm sure, observes practice every day and stands on the sideline, maybe gets a little close to a position group, and you have that you know, football candor that happens on a football field. But none of the high-level intellectual expectation conversations are being had. It's all very football-relevant. Places that I've been, the general manager and that entire staff and the scouting staff, they're upstairs and I'm downstairs. I'm out on the practice field practicing. You're out watching practice.
Sure.
But other than that, there's not much dialogue between player and general manager. And I know, and I'm referencing, like A.J. Smith was the guy who drafted me in San Diego, was there throughout my entire tenure, and maybe a couple years after I left there. But he was a very mum, very business, didn't want to have those connections to create any type of bias towards a player or perception. So he was just very humdrum business all the time. And there was a little, you know, little catwalk kind of outside the building. Balcony. And he'd be up there with his foot up watching practice, you know, looking down on you. So it really was that upper level management looking down on you as a player, down at practice mentality. And I could see just what I know of Ray, it being a little bit different as he is a former player.
Yep.
He is from the scouting department, you know, upgraded to a general manager, a younger guy. You know, full of life, bubbly guy, you know, wants to be a player's GM, I think. And I'm not saying that he is or he's not. I could see him wanting to be that. But there also is that fine line because he determines how much we pay you. He determines whether you're here or not. And at some point, I think you're a hell of a guy, Nathan, but you're fired. You know, he has to be able to do that and say you're a great person. I know your wife. I know your kids. I know it's going to be tough, but just not good enough, you got to go. Yeah. If you can have that conversation, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And he's saying at least he's putting the onus on the people who are ultimately going to feel the wrath if they can't get it turned around and putting it on them. And that's what ultimately at the end of the day.
My biggest question coming from his comments, and I'm sorry to interrupt, is what are those expectations in his mind at this point when he's hit 2-5? 5 wins? 7 wins?
For the season?
For the season.
I would think he probably thinks they should at least go 5-2 in the next 7 and get themselves back to 500.
Right. At what point do heads roll? You know? Both in the team and around. I don't know.
Well, we've seen some people, as you talked about, workouts happen and people move on from this team. You know, guys get placed on injured reserve or guys.
But guys, I think that guys are on the streets for a reason.
Correct.
You know, and they can come in and show an immediate value, or you have a connection to a coach from a past, past team. And that's why someone will come in, because they're in the favor and the good graces of a coach or a position coach or a general manager for that matter.
Played with them.
But ultimately, I've always been an advocate of you're on the streets for a reason. And if you're not adding because of an injury, I feel like in some cases you're simply moving on from someone currently on your roster and going in a different direction by adding someone else.
That I do not disagree with at all. 216-578-0850. That's the way to get with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we will go ahead and open up those phone lines again when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by the good folks.